Hey guys, welcome to an episode of Game Changer Podcast, and we're going to jump into divine appointments today. We're going to talk about understanding divine appointments. We're going to look at the life of Joseph. We're going to talk about divine appointments in our own lives, and we're going to talk about the importance of how God uses people in the area of divine appointments. And I believe this, Romans 8:28, we talk about the scripture a lot, says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. So God can take everything and use it, and including those people he brings into your lives and even the struggles that we walk through. And we're going to talk a little bit about how Joseph's journey from the pit to purpose took place. And so in the tapestry of Joseph's life, the threads of purpose begin to weave a remarkable story in Genesis 41. We talk a lot about Joseph. So over the last few months, we've talked about Joseph a few times, but we're going to hit it from a little bit of a different perspective and talk about the divine appointments that happened in Joseph's life from the prison cell to the palace. And from the prison to the palace, if you look at the life of Joseph, his journey showcases God's orchestration, not only God's provision and God's protection, and God blessed him and so forth and so on. But I really believe that God even just weaved these things together, and it was the divine orchestration of God in every single circumstance. So as we delve into this chapter, let's unravel the lessons on purpose that echo through the corridors of Joseph's life. And Diana, just to set the backdrop here in Genesis 41, Joseph was given a dream. For those of you guys that have never read the story of Joseph, powerful story. A lot in there. Again, we've done multiple podcasts on his story. I'm trying to look at it from a different perspective today, from the perspective of divine appointments. But in Genesis 41, we talk about Joseph having a dream. He was a dreamer, and he also was the favorite child of his father. His dad gave him a coat of many colors, kind of made him feel special. And then Joseph, who had a lot of talent, obviously, a lot of giftings, as we see him grow up, he also had a dream, and his dream was about his purpose and his future. Even though it didn't, wasn't clear, and it wasn't really defining of what Joseph was going to do, Joseph did see in the middle of this dream that he was going to be someone who was going to be influential, and he bought into this. And then those around him, primarily his brothers, how many know sometimes those closest to you can fuel your vision. Sometimes they can also put it out. And his brothers were jealous, and they began to devise a plan to get rid of Joseph. And so number one, in looking at divine appointments in the life of Joseph, let's look at divine timing. Divine timing. So let's just kind of break the story down. Joseph, his brothers took him away. They were jealous of him, and they started by devising a scheme to get rid of him. And they initially set out to kill him. And then one of his brothers, Judah, said, "No, let's not kill him. Let's put him in this pit. Let's tell our dad, that a wild animal got a hold of him and he died, but let's not kill him." So they threw him in a pit and eventually sold him into slavery. To a passing caravan of people that came by, sold him into slavery, which took him to Egypt and to Potiphar, which is a ruler in Egypt, took him to his house. He became a slave there, but then immediately the favor of God was upon his life, and then he became the ruler of Potiphar's house, basically was a steward of all that Potiphar had. Potiphar's wife had the hots for Joseph, went after him multiple times. He turned her down. Eventually, she devised a plan because she was mad that he wouldn't sleep with her to get rid of him. And so she blackmailed him, or basically lied and said he raped her. And then Potiphar had him thrown into prison. He found favor in prison, where he was eventually in charge of the prison. He found favor everywhere he went, and interpreted some dreams, which is one of the giftings that God gave him in prison. And then while in prison, some guys that were there with him, whose dreams he interpreted, were in front of Pharaoh at a later time. And then when Pharaoh had a dream that no one could interpret, they remembered Joseph. So the story goes, they brought Joseph before Pharaoh. God used Joseph to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And then Pharaoh promoted Joseph to second in command. So we watched this from the pit to the palace, or from the pit to purpose, take place. But number one, Diana, is divine timing. So in the unfolding of Joseph's purpose, timing is crucial. Pharaoh's dreams interpreted by Joseph reveal the divine precision at work. Just as Joseph had to endure the weight, and I mean, the weight is what we hate, right? We hate the weight. Our understanding of purpose often involves trusting in God's perfect timing, even when circumstances seem uncertain. And I don't think there's any way really around the wait. You know, when I look at everything that God's done in my life, I want it now. I want it yesterday. I want it as soon as I see it. But really, I've never received anything from God that I didn't have to wait on his timing. But his timing is always better than mine. So I look at it as not just time, so that, hey, let's just make David wait, or let's just make this person wait. I really look at it as I look back and reflect on the things that God has done in my life. I look at it as divine timing. But there is divine timing, and it is God's way, not ours. And I think that that is something that we as believers have to get used to, but it seems like it's always hard no matter how often it happens. What's your thoughts on waiting on the Lord and divine timing?
Well, I think as you're kind of going through that, the two words that I really kind of felt like came to mind was preparation and a building block.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've mentioned this story before previously, but we live a little bit outside, I guess, of the main city. So when you're kind of driving, there's a few farm fields around our home. And what's always interesting to me, if you know much about Florida, strawberries is a main crop here. And usually the best time to harvest those are usually somewhere in like end of January, February. That's when they're the best. They're the reddest. They're the sweetest. They're the best. It's the best time. And what's always interesting to me is as soon as that time is done and they come in, they clear the field, they plow it up. And what's always interesting is like strawberries were here, you know, last week. And this week, by the time they've harvested everything and we're coming home, when I leave for work in the morning, the field will be, you know, just the leftover greenery. And that evening when I come home, it'll all be tore up and it'll be dug up and it'll look like just kind of a mess. And then let's say the next morning as I go to work, it's still kind of looking like that. By the time I come home the next night, they have something else planted. And I don't know what it is.
But it's not strawberries.
But it's not strawberries. And we really won't know until they start to grow and we figure that out. But one of the things that I feel like the Lord kind of laid on my heart is why do they do that? Why do they tear it up and then plant? And there's got to be, and I don't know, this isn't scientific. So if you're a farmer and you know.
Comment. If you're a farmer, comment on what that is.
I don't know how scientific this is. But one of the things that I feel like the Lord is like, something is left behind in that ground for the next crop or the next planting. And so whatever that is, and a lot of times it's usually some sort of pepper, and then sometimes it's some kind of greenery, some kind of cabbage. So it kind of changes frequently, and it's almost as soon as one ends, they clear it, they burn it. I forgot one other step. They burn it up. They burn the ground up. I've never understood that either, but there must be something left back behind that soil. And so even though there's this timing, one of the things that I feel like the Lord showed me, one of the times, like, man, they're always changing. It's like every part, every season, every time that there's there, it's preparation for the next.
Yeah.
And so that it's the same soil, it's the same, but it's a building. It's the next step. There's something left behind. So every season that you're in, if you really are paying attention to it, there's something left behind in the previous season to help you in the next. And that's hard while you're going through it because it feels hard. But, you know, sometimes we come out of a season and it's like, man, it was endurance. God gave me endurance. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you come out of a season of hardship. It's like, you know what? God kept me going with hope. And so I didn't give up.
Yeah.
Or, hey, you know, I'm coming through a season and Lord just supernaturally provided. If you look at it and you examine it and ask the Lord to kind of show you, I think you'll see what that previous season was about, what it was building, what it was leaving behind in the next. And if you get before it, so I'm kind of assuming that if you plant the crops out of order, like maybe that crop isn't going to be
There's a reason for it. Yeah.
And so I feel like
there's a reason for the season.
Yes. So that's another reason why we're speeding things up. But at the same time, you can't go too slow. So we talk about this a lot. David is like, skip a step, get to the next part. I'm like, I'm going to stay so slow that I'll probably miss the next step because I went so slow in the previous step. So it's really about that specific timing.
The divine timing, we always like rip on the one that does what I do, and that's a necessity to take time. But at the same time, you can also waste time. You know, you could waste time, you could delay time, you can add time. You know, the harvest could be ready, and then you not go out and harvest it, and it rots on the vine. So divine timing is super important. And actually, you got ahead on the second point, which really kind of, it really is perfect timing. So it's actually perfect timing. You didn't get ahead. It's perfect timing, but you set up the second point, which is faithful preparation. So we're talking about understanding divine appointments. The first one was divine timing. We don't like that, right? We don't like the divine timing because we don't like it when it's happening because it's divine. You know, the Bible says that his ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. And so you think about that. We appreciate it after, and we know it's what's best for us. And we know that we could trust God. And we know that God has our best at heart and in mind. But the divine timing while it's happening doesn't feel good. It's not, those are the times where the enemy comes in and lies to you and really begins to sow seeds of doubt. So the second point is faithful preparation. You know, Joseph's time in the pit and the prison, which are two things that are not pleasant, right? It's not pleasant to be in a pit, I would assume, and it's not pleasant to be in prison either. And so looking at this, his time in the pit and the prison both were times and seasons of preparation for the grandeur of his purpose. He had a big purpose. That dream that God gave him when he was young, you know, he saw the glitz and glamour of it. He saw, you know, the highlight reel, so to speak. And so how many know that if you have a highlight reel of something, it doesn't show the whole picture? If you watch a trailer, it doesn't give you the details of the movie. And, you know, the trailer is the sizzle and the steak and the fun and the action, but then the movie actually unpacks it. And, you know, there's the plot. And so, you know, the plot's what's important.
Well, I think you have to ask your question there. Will you remain faithful in that, even if it's not going the way you envisioned it? Are you going to remain faithful? Here's the facts. He came out of the pit, was sold into slavery, ends up finding favor in Potiphar's house. And he probably thought when he got there, like, hey, I finally arrived.
Yeah.
And everything's going great, and you know he has power, but yet he didn't have arrogance, right? So I believe he didn't allow pride to come in. That was something I think the faithfulness of serving in the lowly as a slave, like he didn't allow pride. So when he was there, but he was also smart enough to remain true to his integrity, right?
Yep.
Because he could have very easily fallen in that, but yet he remained true to, you know, his character and his integrity. And he had a heart for Potiphar, right? He didn't want to disappoint Potiphar.
Right.
So he remained faithful, even though it would have been easy to allow that. You know,
he wasn't just preparing, but yeah, the point two is faithful preparation. So it's not enough just to prepare, but it's faithful preparation. And every trial, every setback was shaping him for the role he would play. And, you know, he didn't necessarily know that at the time, but God knew. And so similarly in our lives, let's look at our lives here. Let's bring it to 2024 right here for those that are watching and listening to this podcast. The seemingly mundane or challenging seasons are often God's way of preparing us for the purpose that he's ordained for our lives. So you can't throw out the process. You can't throw out the preparation. You know, there's divine timing and there's also faithful preparation. You also got ahead of the third point. For a second, it just shows Diana's right on time. The third point is recognition and humility. So we're talking about what Joseph, you know, how he operated during this time. And so when Pharaoh acknowledges Joseph's wisdom and discernment, it's not just Joseph's recognition, but a divine acknowledgement of his purpose. And so despite the elevation, Joseph remains humble. And this is the key, folks. This is the key, right? Because the reality is, it's God's gift. He gave it to you. And it's not something that we should boast about, but it's something that we should recognize. Okay, how does God get glory out of this? So Joseph remained humble, attributing his gift to God. He gave God the glory for it. This is God's gift. This isn't my gift. I can't interpret anything, Pharaoh. I can't interpret your dream, but God can. Man can't do this. No one can do this, but God can. And so recognizing our purpose involves humility, acknowledging that our gifts are nothing more than instruments in the hand of a higher purpose. And I think that's extremely important because, you know, we don't have the Midas touch, right? The world's full of people that try to bring glory to themselves and try, you know, to we give them accolades because they've accomplished major things. Can I just be honest with you? There's nothing that I've accomplished that's worth anything that's not completely 100%, because of the the hand of God in my life. So we have to remain humble. And that's not easy to do, but recognition and humility is the third point in this divine appointment teaching.
Well, you know, I think for the standpoint of Potiphar, his heart must have been knit to Potiphar. Like, he truly cared about Potiphar enough to not compromise, like, even hurting. I got to believe that he knew that that would not be a good thing. But I'm sure there are people in the surroundings like, no one will know. Oh, my gosh. You know, Bathsheba, not Bathsheba, I'm sorry.
Potiphar's wife.
Potiphar's wife. I don't know why I thought of Bathsheba, I'm sorry. But Potiphar's wife, you know, like, you got her attention. I mean, I think if you're not careful, so I think that comes back down to the people in your surroundings, making sure, because we could get accolades for people around us and get the attention, but is it the main attention? He needed to stay in the good graces of Potiphar. And then obviously that, you know, led to the prison, because, you know, she lied about him and told, said, hey, he did this. But, you know, but then he still had to remain faithful.
Yeah.
And God promised this, but he still had to remain true to his convictions. And that's one of the things, when we start reaching certain points and certain places that we've been, sometimes we don't remain true to our convictions because the world around us, the industry, the, you know, the people around us, you know, we take these shortcuts. You have to remain faithful the entire process to reach, you know, the final result. And so sometimes we don't get to that end as quick as we could. Here's the thing. I feel like ultimately God's perfect plan is played out in our lives, but are we going to take the shortcut? Are we going to take the long route, or are we going to take the God timing route?
Yeah. And even when he was in great point. Even when he was in prison, you know, he had divine appointments. He met the cupbearer and the baker in prison. And, you know, it was during that time in prison with those individuals that God, again, elevated Joseph because of God's hand on his life. And Joseph became someone that led in the prison. He also was impactful and influential in the prison, where he interpreted dreams. And, you know, he was a blessing to those around him. He did not curse the situation. He remained under the preparation of God, the faithful preparation. He remained someone who walked in humility, and he understood, beginning to understand, I believe, the divine timing of God. Even though maybe he didn't understand it completely, he acknowledged that God was in control, and he remained humble, and he remained in a place where he could be prepared. And then the divine appointments were there. And I'm not even sure Joseph knew that those would be divine appointments. He did ask them, he said, when you go out of here, can you remember me? You know, and they went out and they went about their own business. And the baker, you know, was killed and impaled on a pole. Horrible way to die, right? And then the cupbearer, received forgiveness from the king, is restored back to his position. And it was only at that time, where little did Joseph know, that that cupbearer would be in Pharaoh's court again. And there would come a time where, a Pharaoh needed a dream interpreted, and the cupbearer remembered Joseph in prison. So Joseph woke up that morning in prison and went to bed that night as second in command of Egypt. And so, every season, can I just say this? This is for us today. So that's the story of Joseph, right? I mean, he experienced divine timing, faithful preparation, and recognition and humility because there were divine appointments going on. I want to challenge you to look for the divine appointments and be aware of the divine appointments and expect the divine appointments, because every season that you're experiencing right now has value. It's easy to interpret the season of Joseph's life that he was going through as, quote, finding his purpose, when in fact every season we find Joseph walking in is his purpose, and thereby fulfilling the purposes of God through his life. Everything that Joseph went through, the pit, the Potiphar's house, the prison, and the palace, all of those things were part of his purpose. It wasn't him finding his purpose. It was part of the purpose, because God was working those things in him that would be ready for the ultimate timing of when God was going to use him as a major influencer. And so, you know, that was fulfilling God's purposes. So how about you? Let me ask you that. What about you? What about what you're walking through? What about what you're experiencing in your life? And I challenge you to avoid the deadly trap of seeing your purpose as a climatic role, a climatic action, event, or service. Like, looking at it as this culmination of, like, this, some major role is going to happen, or some major action is going to take place, or this big event's going to happen. That's my purpose. I'm waiting for that crescendo, right? That big service. And maybe you've already arrived and are doing something you love and in something you find fulfillment in. You know, alternatively, you could be struggling in what feels like a dead end season. Maybe you're hoping for a more purpose-filled change. the seasons you love and ones you'd prefer to leave behind are gold mines of intel about who you are and not what you do. I'm going to say that again. They're gold mines, but not about what you do, but about who you are in God. So that is what purpose is. And I think that, you know, I viewed it differently for a big portion of my Christian life, Diana, where I thought, you know, purpose is this event or this is, when is my purpose going to be unveiled? But reality is we're walking in purpose right now. It doesn't mean that notable thing might not happen, or maybe something that touches a lot of people or moves a lot of people or impacts a lot of people. Maybe that would happen, but that's not your purpose. That's just a continuation of your purpose that you're already in today, because we're being prepared and we're walking in humility and experiencing divine timing every single day. Amen?
Amen.
Have you ever viewed it that way? Like, you know, viewed it as like, you know, when is this big thing going to happen? Or hey, when is this going to be unveiled? You know, we view purpose as like an event, like I got something I got to get to rather than something I'm actually walking in now.
Well, I think there's a purpose in every season. I think as a mom that I worked predominantly when our older two kids were younger, I worked out of the house. And so I was working, but a mom. And I think sometimes in those seasons, so if you're a mom, kudos to you, and that you have the ability and the freedom to be able to work from home or be a stay-at-home mom, that's awesome. There's no other job or career like that, period, hands down. You'll never regret it. But I can definitely say in those seasons, I sometimes wondered what was my purpose beyond changing a diaper or, you know, cooking another meal or bathing the kids. I found, looking back, I realized that every season has a purpose. And yep. For that season, yes, I was working within our home for our business, but my greater purpose was God entrusted me with children to teach and to grow and to show them, to example to them. And at that time, it was very easy to not feel like I had a purpose. So if you find yourself in that season, you do have a purpose. It's like, yes, how you look at it. It's kind of like glass half empty, half full. You've got to determine, like, every season has a purpose. And am I going to be walking in the fullness of what God has for me so that he can reveal that purpose? And sometimes we don't know the purpose until we're out of it. And that's unfortunate, but I think God can speak to us and show us and lead us, but sometimes we don't really know. I think now, looking back, I understand that the purpose was, I was a mom. I love being a mom. I feel like I was called to be a mom. Our older two kids will make jokes about how we parented our youngest, Ashton, a little bit different, but each season was different, each purpose was different. But yet, to look back and say, hey, there were sacrifices that were made in that season, of being at home with them, but now the rewards, I see the benefits, yeah. I see the purpose. And so here now I'm in this next season. I felt like for me personally, with our being empty nesters, I thought my purpose would be a little bit different in this season. I thought I would be slowing down, and I thought I would be maybe on the other side of retirement. And it hasn't happened that way. So I think we all go through seasons of that. Right now, that's kind of like, okay, Lord, what's the purpose in this right now? And so it's okay to question that, but don't just give up because you don't know the purpose. Seek the Lord about it.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was times in the pit, and I'm sure there was times in the prison, and I'm sure there was even time in working in the palace for Potiphar that Joseph questioned, like, what is the purpose of this?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I knew that I had this dream given to me a long, long time ago, and it doesn't really look the way it is, but I'm fulfilled in some ways. I'm not, but don't, you know, remain faithful even if it isn't completely unveiled to you.
Amen. So, Dino, I'm going to have you pray that prayer in a minute with everyone, but I want you to, guys listening, pause here for a second, and I want you to prayerfully search for the common thread between your seasons that you've gone through. Look for the common thread, the seasons of the pit, the seasons of the palace, the seasons of Potiphar's house, the seasons of the prison, the seasons of the promise, the seasons of prosperity, the seasons, whatever they are. Look for the common thread, this new perspective. I want you to think about this new perspective, the one that we've delivered today out of the Word of God on purpose is an essential key to identifying who you are hidden in your everyday life. Amen. Diana, lead us in that prayer.
You know, I'm just going to say this. We're not working towards purpose.
Yeah.
We're working within purpose.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
In each step. So, Father, we thank you for our journey and through the different chapters of our life. Help me, help each other. God, help, let us help and trust in your divine timing, Father God, that we would not be swayed by the left or the right or where we think we should be, but Father God, we would find trust in your timing and your plan and your purpose. May I find purpose in the preparation, knowing that every season is shaping for me the roles that you have orchestrated and ordained. Yes. Keep my heart humble in recognition of your gifts and guide me in fulfilling your purpose you have uniquely designed for me and just for me. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, guys, thank you so much. Understanding divine appointments. Hey, listen, I want you to comment as you see divine appointments. Maybe you've had some divine appointments. Maybe this podcast episode has opened up your eyes to some divine appointments that God's placed in your life, and now you're going to view them that way. Make sure you comment. Maybe your comment could be a testimony to help someone else. Listen, if you are listening here on YouTube, subscribe, click the notification bell so that you could find out when new podcast episodes are dropped on Game Changer. Also, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, we'd love to have you watch us. You can go to our YouTube page, but also go ahead and subscribe to Spotify and Apple as well. If you're following us on social media, make sure you post us and tag us. We want to see what God's doing in your life. We love those when those of you that tag us and post episodes or post clips and things like that. We see them and we celebrate it with you. We'd love to reshare those. Also, we have an app. It's called Game Changer App by IPD Agency. Over 15,000 people have downloaded the app in the last year and a half or so. That's a community where you can connect with us. There's a lot of resources on there. It's free. There's all types of Bible plans. There's different things that we offer that are typically connected to Marketplace Ministry. And so we'd love to have you download that app, and you can do so anywhere apps are downloaded. Hey, Diane and I love you, and we will see you next time on Game Changer Podcast.